Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Israel and immigration and the Ukraine all dominate the news, and what is interesting about that is it's all about borders. In fact, the word Ukraine means border. Defining borders is a biblical issue. In fact, perhaps it's serendipitous, but it is interesting that Gaza is mentioned in the very first verse of the Bible that contains the word border. You know, the whole idea of dividing to define and differentiate is inherent in creation. God is totally into establishing and maintaining borders. I mean, in creation, he immediately distinguished the geography of the cosmos as heaven and earth. He noted that the earth, and note they're not the heaven, but the earth only, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the question arises, where did this darkness come from? We're not told. What we do know is that God is light, and in him is no darkness, so whatever there was before the beginning, there could not have been darkness, because God is all there was before the beginning, and he is light. So darkness entered in, and no doubt, it came in by the ruler of darkness, who is the prince of the power of the air. You know, Bill Ayer's favorite rebel, Lucifer. Which word, by the way, in our King James Bible, translates a Hebrew term, Hallel, or Hallel, not Hallel, but Hallel, or Hallel, a proper noun created from the adjective Yalal, which means to howl. Not morning star, which in Hebrew would be shachar kobab or kokab shachar, something like that, which is nowhere in Isaiah 14. Hello, a total fabrication with absolutely no linguistic justification. Something invented out of whole cloth, and certainly inspired by the same spirit that seduced Bill Ayers to adopt this personality as his mascot or his mentor for rebellion. What other spirit would assign a designation given exclusively to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to Satan? Furthermore, it appears that the entering in of this darkness precipitated the condition described in connection with it. The chaos, the formlessness, the void. A condition that God himself declared was not the original condition of creation and something that doesn't come from him. As he said, he is not the author of confusion. Isaiah 45:18, we are told he created it not in vain. And that is not tohu, which curiously, this expression in vain is exactly the same or comes from the exact same term used in Genesis 1:2 to describe the condition of the earth coincident to darkness entering in. So, I'm going to a point here, hang on. With the darkness came disorder. God set about to push back the darkness to restore the light and the order. And the first step was to declare, let there be light. And he separated, he defined, he differentiated the light from the darkness. He put a boundary between them. He set them apart from one another. He divided the light from the darkness, didn't he? As day and night. And then he divided the waters. He set a firmament in the midst of the waters, and he divided the waters from the waters, and he called this firmament heaven. Then he gathered the waters under the firmament into one place, distinguishing them from the other waters that are above the firmament, and he called for the dry land to appear. Now, listen. He called the dry land earth, and the waters he called seas, and he set a boundary between them so that the sea does not pass his commandment. Proverbs 8:29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. Then he decreed the earth to bring forth grass and herb, reproducing after its kind, division of kinds, and the tree bearing fruit after its kind, barriers, division, separation. He set lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide day from night and to serve for signs and seasons and days and years. These also serve to divide the day from the darkness, and that's pointed out in the text. Then he made the moving creatures and differentiated them by kind and put barriers of kind between them so that each reproduced. Then he made man after his own image and after his own likeness, and he divided a day and he set it apart from the rest of the days, and he called that day the day of rest, the Sabbath, and he planted a garden in Eden, and he defined its borders by rivers, and these rivers also defined borders describing certain lands that developed over time that had various characteristics that distinguished them from one another. These rivers describe the borders of Havilah, Ethiopia, and Assyria. And he set different trees in his garden, and he distinguished one tree from the other. And in these trees reproduced after their own kind. And he set one tree apart from all the rest and apart from man. And with this tree, he proceeded then to divide and to differentiate and to distinguish between good and evil. And he called his people to divide from the wicked and to separate themselves and to distinguish themselves from this. And he made the woman from the man, and he made them distinct and different, although within the same kind, and ordained that they come together to reproduce after their kind. And after Satan, the dark lord, the ruler of darkness, seduced men into sin, God set enmity between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. He divided them. He set them apart from one another. So that even today the serpent's seed, the children of Satan, hate and despise the woman's seed, which is Christ, the Son of God, by whom we may become the children of God, by belief in him. Separation, distinction, differentiation, you begin to get the picture. Darkness, you see, begets confusion, loss of distinction, loss of differentiation, chaos, disorder. God separated man from the Garden of Eden, set a guard at its border, cherubims, plural form of a high order of angelic creature, with a flaming sword, or a flaming sword that just operates on its own, we're not sure there, flaming sword turning every way, which keep guard against anyone approaching this tree of life. And today, the war is between those who love chaos, disorder, formlessness, whose instincts are in that direction, against those who are children of order. Form distinction. The spirit of Satan motivates his children of disobedience to despise order, to despise rule, to gender chaos and disorder wherever they can, to break down distinctions, to make void the forms of distinction and differentiation. It's an impulse natural to the rulers of darkness. They despise dominion, Jude verse 8, which word, by the way, refers to the definition of a domain, interestingly enough, but God, or through borders. But God, throughout the scriptures, defines domains, defines borders for his people versus other people. More than 200 times the Bible refers to borders, from Genesis to the Gospels. Borders are defined and even considered sacred in some cases. And God owns all the earth, and he defines dominions, and he gives the dominion to whomever he will. But the idea of purchasing property and owning it, you know, owning land, that's a biblical concept. Abraham purchased a place in the land of Canaan to bury his dead. Interesting that the very first property purchased or owned by Abraham in the promised land was a cemetery. They purchased the land with descriptions of defined borders. You read about that in Genesis 23:17. In today's vernacular, they surveyed the land, they determined its borders precisely, and secured a deed to Abraham. Later, when the children of Israel entered into Canaan from the Exodus, they found it divided between the inhabitants living there, and all with well-defined borders. And the land was taken from them for their sins and given to Israel, who then divided the land to the tribes according to the law, each tribe receiving their land or their lot. And this was defined. It was a defined description of the land by borders. And we could go through the whole history. We won't do that. But Israel's more recent to return to her land started a long time before 1948, where Jews were going into that area and buying land in the very area that's being disputed right now, buying it, paying for it, purchasing it. Anyway, borders have been around for a long time. They define domain. They describe a dominion. But the lovers of darkness, of chaos, of confusion, well, they despise dominion. They have no respect for borders, both the physical, geographical types of borders and those abstract borders, you know, like laws, like the Constitution, you know, and the separation of powers, you know, that business, the walls between the powers. Oh, and that religious crowd that wants no distinction, no differentiation, no separation. Yeah, they want to bring down the borders of doctrine and distinction in the religious world. They want Babel. They are like Babylon. They have the spirit of Nimrod. They want a tower of unity. So they avoid distinctions and differentiation, and they want to blend everything together. They're an ecumenical puree, so you can't tell a Catholic apart from a Baptist or a Baptist apart from a Mormon. You know, don't bring up what differentiates us, because that creates order, clarity, distinction, definition. And what they want is a return to vagueness, voidness, darkness, where everything's blurred together. And my friend, evil always breeds well in chaos. Sort of got going on the whole biblical perspective on borders thing, yet I think it's valuable to understand the spiritual underpinnings of our current debate. Next, let's talk about Israel, immigration, Ukraine, and how the devil delights to use children. I'll be right back.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from the founders of our freedom and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. God believes in borders. He has distinguished the borders of hell and the borders of heaven and maintains a differentiation between them. When the gates of hell advance into territory belonging to the children of light, well, he calls on his children of light to charge the gates of hell with a promise they cannot withstand the onslaught of the faithful. But warning, warning, faithless ecumenical Baalites, beware. You will be scoffed by these devils, the likes of those that mock the sons of Sceva. Anyway, it's really not very funny. We too must beware, because the devils we fight are wily. My son and I have been memorizing a passage of scripture in Ephesians 6, 10-20. One verse in that passage warns us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word translates methodeia, okay? And it really, from this, we get our word method. And it means, it means method. Traveling over, or a way to travel over. It includes the ideas of trickery, travesty, to wile, to lie in wait, so on. Anyway, from this we get our word method, and it refers to a procedure for accomplishing something. However, in this case, it has an added sense, and that is deviousness, clever stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to serve the will of the seducer, in this case, Satan. Satan is wily. He is certainly a wily coyote. Pun and double entendre intentional. Satan and his cohorts, his servants, the children of disobedience, who are marked by their own spirit of rebellion against the borders, you know, read Constitution, laws, restraining them from their evil purposes to destroy the integrity of the borders of our dominion, which they despise, are wily coyotes. So beware. Clever device is this business of using children as a cover for their wicked plot. In fact, the devil delights in using children in this way. It's the same spirit operating in Hamas right now, where they plant their rocket launchers in children's bedrooms or in rooms next door to their bedrooms, or plant their terrorists in homes with children, or in schools or hospitals, or use children as bombs, and then get all in a rage if those pursuing them accidentally kill the children they have exposed to this danger. They don't fight like men, they fight like their father of lies, the deceiver. Men would put themselves between the enemy and the children. Weasels put the children between themselves and the enemy. Here you go. Hamas is firing rockets into Israel, purposely targeting civilians. These people constantly do this. They send young men and women wrapped in explosives into civilian establishments like restaurants and buses on purpose to kill men, women, and children. They purposely target innocent non-combatants. They do this, and no one says, "Oh, those Arabs, they just want to kill children. Those Arabs are kid killers." No one burns an Arab flag with a scowl of hatred, accusing the entire genre of humanity under the rubric of Arab as being child killers. But Israel is attacked by an enemy that targets her children and her women and has declared its intention to destroy Israel. But as soon as Israel strikes back in self-defense, the world cries foul and rebukes Israel and burns her flag on TV with a scowl of hatred, saying the Jews are baby killers. I'm getting sick of this nonsense. I hope you are. I ask you, if your neighbor is shooting a rocket into your house, or multiple rockets into your house, targeting your children and your wife, do you refuse to shoot a missile in defense to stop them because his children were in his house? Now, I am depending on some intelligence on the other side of this microphone, all right? I understand that if it was the case of a house next door and you knew there were children in the house, you might wait till the Joker comes out and so on. I get that. But do you get my point? If Mexico was launching missiles into Escondido, which means hidden treasure, by the way, from Ensenada, which means a bay, what do you think about that? After all, Kit Carson and the American military fought a great battle for the land against the Mexicans in the mid-1800s during the Mexican-American War. Very near what today we call Escondido. So not just cause for the Mexicans then to shoot missiles into, well, any part of California, San Diego, you know, all of it. So what if the Mexican government or some radicalized group using Mexico as a base decided to start shooting hundreds of missiles into the neighborhoods of cities in California over disputed borders? And so your children were being bombarded and you tried everything in your power to stop them, but to no avail. So would you say, well, we can't shoot any missiles at them because they've embedded their launchers in the midst of homes where children live, so we can't shoot. Oh, well, you know, I dare say some of you would think that way. Unless it was your children being shot at. Unless it was your home and your life being terrorized day after day, night after night. It's easy for you sitting in your pious armchair, driving your Prius and listening on the radio to rant about how the Jews ought to leave the Gaza Strip, but you're not the ones being told you have no right to defend your land and that you have to leave land you purchased, having every right to be there. So you have to give place to the devil? Interesting, isn't it? Escondido used to be part of a ranch called Rancho Rincon del Diablo, or the Devil's Corner. So if they shot rockets into your neighborhoods targeting your children, you would look at your kids and say, well, look, kids, we can't shoot back. We can't do anything here because we might hurt one of those kids. So it's okay, Daddy, for them to shoot at us, but we can't shoot at them. Why don't you think about this about half a second? It's all it should take you to understand the ridiculousness of faulting Israel in this situation. I mean, they are purposely attempting to kill your children. And so you're going to disallow yourself to defend yourself because you might accidentally kill one of theirs. This is nonsense. Now, here you go. How about you move? That's great. Yeah, just, you know, pack your bags and move out. Yeah, the gates of hell then establish a new line of territory. And then from that new line, launch a brand new attack. And then, well, you got to move again, don't you? And then they establish a new line and renew their attack. And then you move again. No. You must resist the devil. And you must do it right there in his corner. But the devil is wily. He knows how to use children. In our case, Mexico and the rest of South America is not sending missiles over our border. They are sending their children in hordes. And hidden among the children are the gang members, the terrorists, the drug dealers, the gun runners, the rest. So fearing we might inadvertently hurt one of these children, we end up helping the devil. The devil uses children as his advanced guard and shield. He does this in Gaza, and he does it at our borders. He wraps his evil design in children, or within children, and then, if we respond in any way that might inadvertently, and in our case with our border, we're not even talking about hurting these kids physically. If we disappoint their design to enter the country illegally, we get the treatment. You're a monster, you're a child killer, you're a child hater, you're a mean person, you're cruel. Oh, Satan is a wily one. He's a wily coyote. Because the fact is, among these children crossing our borders illegally are probably some very fine young people and some children with great promise and potential. Satan isn't stupid. He knows he needs to have some crossing the borders that can give the liberals an opportunity to put a face on this that causes us to pause and consider. You know that his recruiters, his human trafficking, drug dealing, cartel serving, gang-banging, low-life human cucarachas are deceiving innocent families into believing that Obama has promised to give out free permisos to children and women crossing with them. Now, I can see this working. I worked for an immigrant from Mexico, and we called him Dr. Camargo. I was one of his copywriters. He became a dear friend to me and my family. I learned a lot from Dr. Camargo, and one thing I learned was that the children in Mexico dream of coming to live in Disneyland. He spoke of being sent to the border with Tijuana to go from car to car, peddling whatever he could come up with for the day. Chewing gum, Mexican bread, candy, odds and ends, trinkets, beads, flowers, blankets, whatever was available to sell. And he spoke of coming up to the rich American cars in his way of looking at it and seeing the children inside all dressed up so neatly with shoes. And he was especially excited when one was wearing a Disney emblem of some kind. And he dreamed of working one day for Walt Disney. And he talked to me about going to bed hungry most nights and dreaming of moving to America. And he grew up, was a very accomplished artist in his own right, and finally fulfilled his dream. He became a professional illustrator for Disney. Now, I'm sure there are some Roberto Camargos in the crowd of children pouring over our border in search of a better life who dream of living in Disneyland. I don't have to stop there. How many dear, precious friends have I had over the years and whose friendship I now enjoy that migrated from Mexico? I literally could not count them. There are so many. It's not hard for me to look into the faces of these precious children in these pictures that I've seen and spot a Camargo or David Sanchez or my brother George or Abdon. I mean, I could literally go on and on and on. And who heard someone say, hey, America is giving out free permisos. Here, listen to what the president said, and then watching a video or listening to an audio clip of Obama making any one of the many statements he has made that could very easily be taken to mean exactly this and being duped. Well, I mean, when they were children, not now. They're way too heads up on things now, but it's not hard at all for me to believe some, if not many, of these kids coming across the border are great kids. And that's just the point. El Diablo is inteligente. He knows how to put a good face on the evil he's trying to pull. He needs some dupes who are innocently being used by him. So who is the one that's hurting these kids? Who is putting the children in harm's way in Gaza? Not Israel. No, Hamas is responsible for every single child killed in that horror story. Everyone on both sides of the conflict. Israel's attacks that occasionally and inadvertently kill a child put in harm's way by Hamas is the responsibility of Hamas, not Israel. And every one of these precious children that are hurt by being sent back to Mexico have been hurt by the wily coyotes here and in Mexico who are abusing and using these children and exposing them to this painful disappointment. The children have to be sent back. And this idea of going through the countries looking for children who qualify for refugee status and then bringing them over is also, it's outrageous. Think about this. El Diablo is a clever devil. Obama is going to use this to compromise our borders one way or the other. Why? He's a border despiser. He's a dominion despiser. He naturally and instinctually makes moves and decisions and thinks in the direction that would serve to break down law and order because he's a dominion despiser. Jude verse 8. He instinctively thinks in methods that lead to disorder, disobedience, chaos, all of which serve to strengthen evil and deepen the darkness growing in our land. And he does much of this under the guise of doing something good for the children or for the poor. The presidents of Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, according to this AP article, answered a summons by Obama. Now, this is the word used in the article by the AP. That's Associated Press, by the way. Not usually known for the love for imperialism. Published July 25, 2014, Associated Press, quote, President Barack Obama is summoning Central American leaders to the White House to discuss the influx of young immigrants from their countries to the U.S., hoping to show presidential action even as Congress remains deeply split over proposals to stem the crisis on the border, end quote. Now, such a meeting needs to be had, but a summons? And listen to what he's proposing. So according to this article, the president alleged is, quote, considering creating a pilot program giving refugee status to young people from Honduras. The plan, listen, would involve screening youths in their home country to determine whether they qualify for refugee status, end quote. The president of Guatemala said he had not heard about the plan, but, quote, listen, he expected it to come up Friday. And he went on to say, quote, we expect that the solution to this problem also is equal for the three countries, end quote, he said. Now, think about that. In other words, if Honduras is getting this deal, I expect I'll get it too. What is going on? Why would these presidents say to America, hey, come on into our country and go door to door, gather these people up, interview families in our country, and look for those who qualify for refugee status to come to America? And then we're going to send them out to you. What? You don't smell the stink of this, my friends? Does not this prove what we've been saying? The presidents of these South American countries are in on this. Now, we knew that anyway, but this is unbelievable. They are working with Obama to create this massive influx of South American migration across our borders. I don't get it. Are these presidents? I mean, wait a minute here. These presidents answered what the AP described as a summons from Obama. A summons, you know what that is, don't you? It's a verb that means to authoritatively or urgently call on someone to be present, to be urgently demanded to be called to a meeting and so on. I mean, of course you know what this word means, especially if you've ever received a summons to court. Obama summons the South American presidents, and then they get together and they work out this plan to pre-qualify massive migration across our borders with refugee status. This is nuts. So these presidents admit their country is so messed up and that they are so inept as leaders, so totally out of control of their country that they can't provide for the safety of their own people. And so they're going to invite America in to determine which of their citizens will qualify to be allowed to go from their country into America as refugees? I mean, Castro should go for such a program. No. There's something else going on here, my friends. I mean, think about it. Some children in the country qualify and others don't. You know, a refugee, in this sense, is someone forced to leave their own country to escape war, persecution, or natural disaster. So are these countries at war? Are they under persecution from the government? Has there been a natural disaster that has made it impossible for them to live there in their country? I mean, what's going on here? And the entire country is unlivable? They could find refuge somewhere within their own borders if these presidents would do anything for their people. The fact that they say, well, come over and see which ones qualify means that there are some places in these countries where it would be safe for them to live, so why don't they just relocate there? But no, they want to move them all into America. So they're going to handpick and cherry pick which ones they're going to send over. That's what's going on. You better watch out. You better wake up. And they want to find a bypass, a fast track, a carpool lane, whatever. Oh, you get the metaphors. To get around the usual immigration process, these presidents should act to provide refuge for their own people. Certainly before America is asked to carry that burden here, as if we don't already have enough to deal with. And now for the brilliant burst of insight for which the brain masseur is famous. You see, these presidents, Obama of North America, Molina of Guatemala, Hernandez of Honduras, Sarin of El Salvador, all of these men and others, no doubt, despise the dominion of America. They despise our border. And they don't believe America has a right to exist. Now listen, these people believe America stole the land exactly the same way the Hamas believe Israel stole the land they occupy. Israel and America have no right to exist in the mind of these people, these darkness-loving, chaos-loving, border-despising, dominion-despising folks. So therefore, our claim to dominion is dismissed and our claim to have integrity for our borders is despised. Anyway, I'll be speaking to this Sunday night, 6 p.m. Be there or be square. That's at the Lighthouse, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you'd rather write, or if you're from outside the country, contact me by email. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Scroll down a little bit on the right side, you'll see a place there where you could put in your information and send me an email message. And you can send me as long a message as you like. If you're in a hurry when you call, just say lights on and hang up, or lights off and hang up. That's fine. But if you will, leave a message for me. Tell me what you think of the show, positive or negative. Either way, I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Like Paul Revere's lantern lighter, Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming. Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Churches have led our nation toward the ruin we face, and it's up to the churches to lead us back from destruction. God calls his people back to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church is inviting God's people to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.